Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 6, 2022, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 13, the third paragraph down, which begins, "My schoolmate visited me." Today's readers are Jody H. reading the 12 Steps, Brandy M. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Penny L. C., Leslie M., and Kathleen O. The reference numbers for the last two meetings, Tuesday, July 5th, the 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, the reference number is 19,137 or 19137. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, is 19,145 or 19145. Our newcomer greeter at the end of the meeting will be Tamara C., and please stay on, too, for announcements from Shelley E., and thank you, Elaine, for getting us going with the recording. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jody H. to please read the 12 steps. Good morning, Jody.
Yes, my name is Jody H., and I'm a compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood it. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Jody H. And Brandy M., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Sure. Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in the matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprises, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. We ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the big directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 13, the third paragraph down, and I will ask Penny C. to begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Kathy, and thank you for your service. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L. C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability. And so, for context, it's 1934. And Bill, who is sick and suffering, but willing to seek a solution, is visited in the hospital by his friend Ebby. And Ebby walks him through the tenets of the Oxford group, which is what has helped Ebby to recover from his alcoholism. And those tenets can be found on page 263 in the Big Book. In this paragraph, they do number 3, referred to as a moral inventory, and number 4, referred to as confession, these being our steps 4 and 5 of determining and turning over Bill's resentment. And then they proceed to determining his amends needed, which he commits to following through on. And that's Oxford tenet number 5, restitution. Of course, these being our steps 8 and 9. So what does this work do? Well, for Bill, and the same for me, it moves me further down the road of recovery, while it moves me further from my need or desire to compulsively overeat. Excuse me, someone's unmuted. It allows me to see my truth of what and how I've been thinking, feeling, and behaving. Then I'm aware of what I need to turn over to my higher power and what I need to ask to be changed. It allows me to see my truth of what harms I have done and how I may go forward to make the needed amends. The result, oh my gosh, it's incredible, are a new way of living and an amazing freedom. And I'm so grateful to walk this journey with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC, for getting us started today. Okay, let's see. I'm going to invite people who want to share to give me your name and the first initial of your last name. And let me remind you that although we value everybody's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back so that we can make sure we hear from others. Okay, who would like to share today?
Rachel R.
Jody E.
Okay, Rachel R. and Jody E.
Peg
Kathleen
M.
O.
Kathleen O.
Peg M.
Peg M.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Wow, that's a great lineup. Anybody else? Okay, we will come back for more names when we hear from these folks. So I have Rachel R., Jody E., Kathleen O., Peg M., and Veronica B. Please go ahead, Rachel R.
Hi, thank you, Rachel R. So just this paragraph just reminds me of how it was before. And in a way where it's like I fully acquainted my schoolmates with my problems and deficiencies, but more out of a desire to gossip and make myself right and them wrong. And I'm also seeing here how, you know, doing the steps and making a list of people that I felt resentment towards and getting, you know, complete or, you know, making amends or just doing 10 steps on them are just a blessing and have really helped my recovery. I can see also where before I would not want to admit my wrongs out of just pride. And also by not doing that, how it would drive me to the food, because that would be the way of, like, you know, soothing my resentments, was with food. And now I get that I don't have to do that. I can do that with my 10-step partner. I can do that by making an outreach call. I can do that by putting myself on the GroupMe to be able to find somebody to go over my 10 step was. And you know, life's a lot better with program and with the steps and with all of the tools and resources and people that I have available to me. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much, Jalore. Thank you. And Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So here Bill is doing his fifth step with Ebby, and he's making his eighth step list of people he has hurt or toward whom he feels resentment. So he's becoming humble here, and he's becoming entirely willing to admit his wrongs. He is willing to do his ninth step right here and right now. There are no misgivings. He has hit his bottom, and he's willing to go to any lengths for recovery. Never was he to be critical of them. He's to do his utmost to right all of these problems and all of these issues that he has found in his fourth step. So this is true humility. This is what is asked of us, to put down this feeling that I am right and I have been wronged. There comes a point when I no longer can do that anymore. I don't need to do that anymore. There's such a freedom to be had from just, okay, let's say I am wrong. Look at my selfishness. Where have I been selfish? Where have I been self-seeking? Where have I been dishonest? The inventory is mine, not the other man's. Their faults may be glaring, yes, but I too am to blame. And it's that focus on my own faults that will bring me the freedom and the neutrality with the food. So I'm willing to go to any lengths. I'm willing to approach these people who I resent, that I don't like, admitting my fault. Never am I to be critical of them. This is the difficult, yes, but so freeing. And Bill is showing us exactly how it's done. Thank you, Bill. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. And Kathleen O, please share with us, Kathleen.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for your service this morning. And this is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So Ebby visits Bill, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiency. We made a list of people. So he's making this list, which is kind of four, and he's giving everything away to Ebby, which is what we do in step five. And then he, you know, moving through the paragraphs, getting to who's he going to make amends to, and making amends and not being critical, criticizing the other person. So, you know, if you're new and you're just hearing this paragraph, this may be a little like, what does this have to do with anything? But, you know, OA is, it's the 12 steps and how we stay abstinent and happy. If we white knuckle or diet and we're the real compulsive overeater, most of us are not happy while not eating. And so it never lasts. And that was my experience before coming into OA and this and 12-step recovery. I had a lot of willpower and I could be very successful on diets, but I wasn't happy at all. And eventually I would eat because I had to, because I couldn't stand it anymore. So these steps are going to help us to be happy while not eating. And, you know, if powerlessness, which is really what this is all about, that we come to terms with, we need to find a higher power. And truly, there's no other way out. That's my experience anyway, you know. And I'm not here to convince you there's a God, but what we do try to convince you is the need for God. And it's a God of your understanding. And this power really is, according to the Big Book, born deep down inside each of us. So the only reason I was able to turn to a power greater than myself was total hopelessness. You know, powerlessness truly is the heart of the problem. And in step four, I had to take responsibility for my past behavior. And I had to, you know, I had to acknowledge things that were kind of embarrassing and painful. But it was about looking at my feelings of anger and fear and resentment and shame. And it was easy for me to write my resentments out because my self-centered perspective made me think my pain was because of other people. And, you know, really, I was the creator of my own problems. So step four and five, they can be a little emotionally disturbing. And but the results come from step five. You know, this is where I got rid of the garbage and secrets I have been holding on to. And I found that these things were what have been keeping me eating. So a lot of, I see people leave in step four and five because it can be a little, you know, there's a lot of emotion tied to it. But in order to see how the steps work, we really have to do them. You know, when I took the actions, I got the results. The steps didn't make sense to me intellectually, but taking certain actions removed my problems. And today I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So, again, these steps are to help us, they're not to help us. You will get the results of being abstinent and being happy at the same time and not wanting to eat all the food that made you so miserable before. And life gets a lot better. And thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Peg M., please share with us.
Hello?
Yes, this is Peg.
Yes, this is Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have been really upset and resentful and angry at things that have been going on. And I opened the big book to look at the steps, and I saw the list of in the big book where it says, I'm resentful at so-and-so because of. And I realized that I'm powerless of other things, other people, and other things that are happening. I'm absolutely powerless over it. And I didn't like that feeling that I was powerless, but I got kind of used to it. And so what I did was I realized that I was hurting myself by being resentful and fearful about things. I was not changing them. I was not making things better. I was only hurting myself. I realized it didn't make me feel good. It made me feel awful. And so I turned to prayer because this is how I was feeling. And I turned this over and asked my higher power, I asked God to please help me with this. And I went to, because I hadn't told the people that I was resentful about, but I had talked about it with my sister and a friend. And so I went to them and I said, look, you know, all of this resentment and fear that I've been going through is not going to make things any better. It's only going to make me feel worse. And I just want to tell you that I haven't been listening to this meeting because I haven't been here. But this is a perfect meeting for me today, and I'm so grateful to my higher power for helping me to get recognition to me of Peg. Yeah, you're doing it, hon. You're trying to live through the steps, and you're doing what the steps tell you to do, and you're on your way. So, and I love myself for that, and I love OA, and I'm just so grateful. So thank you, everybody, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Peg M. Veronica B., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you, Kathy, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This paragraph talks about Bill and Evie working a step. So it gives an example that, we get to read Bill's story, and then we get to hear how he gets sober and how he stays sober and the work that he has to do. And this is the work that he has to do to stay sober and be happy and free from his alcoholism. And this is the work that I had to do to get free and happy from my alcoholism, because I suffer from alcoholism. I came into program with a broken mind, like wrong thinking. You know, my problem is me. I am selfish and self-centered to the core. And if I didn't get my way, I would throw a tantrum and I would always turn to food to soothe me, always. It's my thinking that's broken. This is why I have to work these steps. I have to make a list of all people I've harmed or I'm resentful at. And then I have to do everything and in my ability to right my wrongs. If I don't right my wrongs, I will go back to the food. I will continue to feel shameful, and I'll continue to feel like a bad person, you know. So I came into OA with a broken belief system. You know, I thought it was your fault. I needed you to validate me. I just had a really selfish way of looking at how life was. And these steps, they have rearranged me. I've had a psychic change where I don't see the world. I'm not a victim anymore in this world. Like, I get to just live in God's world, and I get to just trust that the day is unfolding the way it's supposed to, because God is in charge. But I didn't used to think that way. I used to think that, you know, I wasn't getting my way, and then I would get really upset, and I would be in despair, and then I would turn to food, and the food would numb me, but that would only last for a little while, and, like, the food never worked, you know. And these steps are just a way to learn how to live comfortable with not knowing for me. Like, I don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, and I'm okay with that. That's what the steps have done for me. That's what a relationship with God has done for me. Today I get my relief from God. I get my relief from being in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous. But I have to do this work so that I can have a rearrangement of how I think, have this psychic change. And when I was new, I was willing. I continue to be willing. I continue to be teachable. And thank you, everyone, for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. Okay, I'd like to remind folks who may have joined us late, we are sharing on the third paragraph down on page 13 in Bill's story. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, meaning on Monday or Tuesday of this week, we'd love to hear from you. So who else would like to share today?
Tamara C.
Tamara C. Thank you, Tamara.
Shanna C.
Shanna C.
Kara L.
Tara or Carol, I'm sorry.
Kara.
Tara L. Thank you. Who else?
Lisa N. from Wisconsin.
Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Anyone else? Okay. Tamara C., please. Tamara C., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Tamara C. From Missouri, and very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater today. This paragraph it's full of things that are not fun for me. It was really hard for me to look at who I had hurt, and just the fact that I do harm, and to be willing to make amends and set matters right. This idea really, really scared me. But what happened was, because I was willing, because I was desperate enough to go to any lengths and willing to do all of this, it allowed me to do what Bill was talking about in the previous paragraph about, like, placing myself unreservedly in God's care and direction. I wanted to do that all my life. I wanted to do that, but I really didn't understand that there was so much blocking me, and I always had reservations. Like, I tried to surrender to God, and I wanted to do God's will and follow God, but I had these reservations, like, God doesn't truly get me, or if God does, then God doesn't truly care enough about me, and what God wants for me is not truly in my best interest. And God can't really accept me, not until I change and fix myself. But I was willing to move forward in the steps, and I was willing to seek a God personal to me, and so this is how I did it. I did this inventory, and I shared it with another person as painful and terrifying as that was, and I listed the people I hurt, I went through the rest of the steps, and in going through the rest of the steps, I'm just praying, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. God helped me uncover these reservations, these old flawed ideas and prejudices, and they're still there after a lifetime of the habit of thinking these things. They still come up, and so daily, I practice uncovering them again and again by living in 10, 11, and 12, taking spiritual action, and God continues to do for me what I cannot do for myself, and by doing this inventory and making amends daily, I am able to get back to the truth that God really, truly cares about me and sees me and is trustworthy. I return to that voice of truth in my higher power so I can let go and ask for care and protection with complete abandon of my reservations. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Tamara C. Shanna C., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks for leading the meeting. Thanks for everyone who has shared. This paragraph is so reminds me so much of, well, my own experience and stuff. And when I'd gone through and did my fourth step and then did my fifth step and stuff, yeah, I felt like I was walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe after having completed step five, but at the same time, I still felt like a worm because I'm like, I can't believe the person I had become, and thank God that there are actual directions on how to repair the damage done in the past, and this big book shows us how to do that, that I don't have to figure all of this stuff out. The willingness came because I saw that I couldn't change myself in step six and seven. Step six was, I can't change myself, I must have God change me, and the willingness to do whatever it took, whatever actions I needed to take, God did the change, and, you know, I took the action, and I was willing to have God to remove this stuff, and going out and repairing the damage done in the past, you know, that begat that change, and so I have an experience that came to my mind as I was listening and stuff. I had an amend that I needed to make to my mother-in-law, and nine times out of ten, the unexpected happens, you know. What I thought, the amend would go one way, it went the complete opposite. And I got to experience and see in my experience, I've had wonderful, amazing, beautiful, uplifting, encouraging amends. And then I've had other amends that, you know, even though I followed the directions and stuff, the outcome was not pleasant. And that was the one with my mother-in-law. And it just so happened that my husband is on the phone with my mother-in-law, and I was kind of overhearing the conversation, was able to get on this meeting and disconnect myself from that and turn my thoughts to those I could help, because I'm not cured of this disease, you know, and living in 10, 11, and 12, there are actions that I can take that keep me from, you know, I can pray and that and God can direct my thinking, provided that willingness is still there. And it's always that willingness to be of service, you know, be that schoolmate, be that person who's willing to share, you know, and carry a message, because I can't fix the people in my life. That amends was made, it was water over the dam. I'll never be able to change the people around me, but what I can do is stay close to God and perform his work well. And so anyway, grateful that I have this opportunity and this way of life, that I don't have to be stuck in that resentment, because really resentment is worship. It's a form of worship. Dependence upon people ahead of dependence upon God. So anyway, we have a real power support source we get access to through these steps, and I'm so grateful for it. And because of that, I haven't found it necessary to eat. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Shanna C. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to my fellows who are doing service in the meeting and bringing the meeting to us today. You know, I was reading this and I thought, where did I just come from when I identified into this paragraph? Well, I just came from steps 1, 2, and 3. Where I I realized that I could not do this on my own. And when I tried, it became very unmanageable. That there was something greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. And that I was fully, openly ready to say, please help me. And to trust that I'd be helped. And how do I keep in that space? Well, I had a lot of things that blocked me from that higher power that was helping me. And so I had to dive in and I had to fully acquaint someone with everything. I had to clear that path so I could keep what I gained in steps 1, 2, and 3. And it was, you know, I had done several of those. And the last fourth step that I did that was really brought me to a new spiritual awareness and really cleared the path was one that every step of the way I said, please show me my higher power, what I need to put down on here, what needs everything. And if it popped into my mind, it went down. And a beautiful sponsor listened to me for many hours. And at the end, I was still holding something back. And I just heard, just get it out. Because the reason I do this work is so I can keep that connection with my higher power, that I can keep that source of love and commitment and strong in mind. So when I reach and I say I need help, there's no blockages. And I continue this work in 10, 11, and 12 so I can keep that channel clear. And I'm so grateful today. I'm so grateful today for all of the sponsees who entrusted me with their fourth steps and all of the fellows, my fellows that listened to my 10th steps and for my sponsor. And it's a beautiful way to live. And it does take a little bit of trust and work. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kara L. Lisa N., please share with us.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Thank you, moderator, for your service. And good morning, everyone. What really struck me this morning is because I had a call from my own sponsor this morning, and this looks like sponsorship to me, this paragraph, is that how divine it is when God puts people together to work on their problems together, not alone. And even understanding that you have to be willing to approach people who have wronged you and look for your part in it and say, I'm sorry for my part. That takes support. That takes divine direction and support from others. And I so get that from my sponsor. And this morning, in fact, it was something that I wasn't seeing. Sometimes we need somebody that can see what, you know, what we are, how we're approaching something or how we're looking. And for me, I should say, not everybody else, but for me, I need an extra pair of eyes, an extra pair of ears. Somebody hears something I say. They see something I'm doing and they point it out so that I can understand what I'm doing. So I find this a beautiful paragraph and how it says, we made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. He didn't have to do it alone and he wouldn't have even known how to do it probably. So, he was willing. God gave him the willingness to work with Abby, and that was the gift. There was initial willingness, and I am willing to surrender today. I am willing to do what my sponsor said because what I'm doing, when I do it, it doesn't always work. So I have to listen to others who know better. So thank you for letting me share, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Lisa N. We have time for two or three more shares. Would anyone like to share today?
Pardon?
Hi, this is Noelle. I'd like to share.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Noelle J.
Noelle J. Great. Thanks, Noelle. I think I have. Go ahead.
Okay,
one at a time, please. Go ahead, one of you.
Okay, this is Noelle J. in Arizona. Hi, everyone. I've been
Noelle, I think there was someone else trying to get their name out before you go. Is there someone else?
Andrea M.
Andrea M. Okay. Anybody else?
Sarit L.
Sarit L. Okay. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Noelle.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here this morning. This is Noelle J. in Arizona. I have been listening for a year and a half. This is my first time sharing, and it's been great to come and listen. I am finishing up my fourth step right now, and yeah, it's really hard to see these things, and it's just a whole new way of learning and being and how to deal with things in the present as well, how to see my character defects, how to see the patterns that I do in my life, and how to change them. I have to have a difficult conversation with my sponsor today because of her bringing in outside issues to our meeting. I have to look at the traditions. I have to look at my own selfishness. I have to look at a lot of things, but I also have to abandon my people-pleasing behaviors. That's part of my recovery, and being able to speak my truth without fear of abandonment and without turning to food, but without also doing it with not making her wrong and me right, just sharing what makes me feel uncomfortable and, you know, where I want to be and how I want to, you know, how I want to show up in the world. And so it's such a combination of these things, because in the past, before recovery, I would just fly off the handle. I'm right. This person's wrong. I'm the victim. And now I'm able to see things in a more mature light. I think that this is a program of recovery and a program of maturity. Thanks for being here. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Noelle J. Andrea M., please share with us. Andrea, press star 1 to unmute.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. This is my first time sharing. Yeah, I'm just in a, I guess, beginning phase, and I'm just looking for someone with experience, strength, and hope in binging and restricting. So I've been on this journey a long time, but I'm still really at the baby step level. So anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Okay, Andrea, please stay around and let us hear from you when we're asking for newcomers. You might be able to find people who will call you and help you out. And Sarit L., you'll be our last share today.
Hi, it's Sarit L., recovered compulsive overeater in Montreal, Canada. Today is my first day home alone with just a baby and not all my kids, and so grateful to be on live. And it's possible, it's just, I want to shout it out to the world, it's possible to live a life of recovery, not getting to, you know, talk to my sponsor every single day or making exactly 3 phone calls a day or getting to an hour-long meeting. What I've learned in these rooms is that my recovery doesn't depend on tools. It doesn't depend on tools. It doesn't depend on circumstances. It doesn't depend on people, places, or things, because those are all finite. Only God is infinite. Only God is limitless. And so God, as the source, has everything I need for my abstinence and for my recovery. And change is so hard for me because I want my routine. I want to meditate at the exact time that I meditate, when my kid's out the door, you know, in my spot, in the exact place. and get on to my meetings and speak to my peoples and do my 10-step work. And that's not life. That's not realistic. Because life is change. And life has so many vibrant colors and dark colors. And I can walk through all of them with the help of God. And I say that, and I'm passionate now, because what I've learned is, like, going through the roller coasters of life, you know, this is how we test our recovery. You know, this is how our recovery is tested and proven, when we walk through life and we're patient, when we have a confrontation and we're honest about what's going on for me, when we discuss things instead of yell. So I've just been in this position for the past week or plus, and I have to say that it's only with the help of God that I've been able to walk through all of this and still be here on the other side, in the land of recovery, in that same place. And so grateful. I am offering hope to anyone who's struggling out there. This program really works. Just hold on and hang on to those people out there that can guide you to a relationship with your higher power, who will give you everything you need and is the answer to all my problems today. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Sarit L. Okay, we are now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Leslie M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Press star one, Leslie. Leslie?
Can you hear me now, Kathy?
Oh, yeah. Now I can. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you for your service. Leslie M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.